Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
It says that, so he went to him and he bandaged his wounds. Jesus begins the healing process in our lives. When you invite Christ into your life, it's as if he anoints us with oil, which is the very next thing that he does, and we find ourselves beginning to heal. We become healthy when we come to Christ.
Today on Practical Christian Living, as we continue our journey through the Gospel of Luke, we are looking at the Good Samaritan. How can we help others that get overlooked and abandoned by the rest of the world? By offering the same help, healing, and love that we've received from Jesus. With part two of our study out of Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
The law is not bad. The law is just weak. The law has 613 commandments. We have trouble remembering 10. It has 613, and it's meant to show you have sin. That's the purpose for the law, to reveal to you sin. The law is the mirror that shows you in the morning that you need help. You get up, you look in the mirror, you're like, whoa. But you can't take the mirror off the wall and comb your hair with it. Can't wash your face and brush your teeth with the mirror. You have to have something else. So the law passes us by. It reveals to us our need, but doesn't help us. Obviously, this priest should have stopped and helped. And here's where people make all kinds of excuses for the priest, right? Well, maybe he would be undefiled. Maybe he was scared that he was going to be attacked. That's not the point. So then likewise, a Levite, verse 32, when he arrived at the place, he came and looked and passed on the other side. So this guy did a little bit better. He came and looked and went, yeah, and he walked on and didn't help. The Levites were, well, Moses was a Levite. You can't say that Levites are the descendants of Moses because Moses was a Levite. The Levites were just chosen by God to be those that would care for the spiritual needs of Israel. Those were the Levites. And so they can't really help because it's beyond the help of men. It has to be God that stops and helps. And so then it says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now, I really do believe that this is an example of Jesus, because Jesus is the God-man who is rejected by men. Men have hated him like they hated the Samaritans. And Jesus shows and has compassion. And when you study the Gospels, you find that Jesus often has compassion on the crowds. It says that when he looked out on the crowd, he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them, and he fed them, and he prayed for them and healed them, and he cast demons out of them, and he met their needs. You'll find that reference often with Jesus. It's Jesus who has compassion on us when we realize that we don't have what we need to be saved. Now, there are 10 things that this Samaritan does for Jesus. There are 10 things that the Samaritan does for this wounded man that fell among thieves. And we could take time to talk about how these 10 things equate to 10 things that Jesus does for us. I'm not going to today because I'd like to let you go before 3 in the afternoon. But later on, there's plenty of studies out there that make this comparison. It says that, so he went to him and he bandaged his wounds. Jesus begins the healing process in our lives. When you invite Christ into your life, it's as if he anoints us with oil, which is the very next thing that he does, and we find ourselves beginning to heal. We become healthy when we come to Christ. We become who God intended us to be. He gives him oil. He gives him wine. Wine is a sign of the cup of the new covenant. He set him on his own animal. You and I are in complete need of Jesus, just like this man was in complete need of the Samaritan. He couldn't even walk. He had to be put on the animal and carried. You can't make your way to heaven. There's none of you who can. Without Jesus, there's no way you can see heaven. You can't jump high enough. You can't do enough works. You can't crawl up enough stairs on glass. You can't make sacrifices enough. It's impossible for all of us to be saved. I can't save myself. I need God. He's got to carry me. It goes on to say then, he set him on his animal. He brought him to an inn and took care of him, stayed and took care of him. And on the next day, when he departed, he took 2 denarii. A denarii is a day's wages. So he gives him 2 days' wages. Now, we know from records during the first century how much it cost to stay in an inn. Today, I'm going to say that it costs more to stay in a hotel room than the average day wage. Don't you think? When you go on vacation, one of the most expensive things is hotels, right? You're like, what? Hotels that used to be like $250, which used to be high, right? Are like now $540. And you're like, what? Maybe we'll stay over at, you know, I don't know, some, you know, $59 place in LA. Yeah, maybe we'll survive. Maybe we won't. But for them, and this inn was obviously different than that. This wasn't like a clean room and a bed in your own place. It was a place where you went and kind of made a camp for yourself. But it was 1/32nd of a denarii in the first century. We know that from records. They found records. So he left them enough for 2 months. But then he said, and to the innkeeper, he said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will come again and I will repay you. So take care of him. And he speaks about coming back again. And we can't help but see, when we are seeing this in this analogy, that Jesus Christ is going to return. Jesus said some interesting things about the world and what was going to be happening when he would return again. He said that things were going to become like birth pains. They're going to get worse and worse. There are those who believe that the world is getting better and better in every way and every day, better and better. There are those that believe that the Bible teaches that. But things are getting worse and worse. And Jesus said, he said, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars, but don't let these things worry you. These things must be. But these things are birth pains. Meaning that wars aren't a sign of the end. They've always been, they'll be until he returns. It's the increasing number of wars. And I could go into great detail of how there's still a Cold War taking place. We don't see it today like we did in the 70s and 80s when we taught, if you were a kid during those days, you were taught to hide under your chair during the Cold War, right? But a Cold War is a proxy war. And today you have Russia and the United States fighting through Iran and Saudi Arabia in proxy wars in Syria and Yemen and Lebanon. It's just all these things are taking place. And I'm digressing from my point just to try to say to you, Jesus said he's coming back. He gave us signs of what the last days were going to look like. We are living in those days. And there are several different of them that there are. He's going to return. It's interesting that he gives him 2 days denarii, and the Bible says a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. And I'm going to say this right now, don't set dates, okay? And if you guys are listening to anybody that's setting dates, they're wrong. How do I know this? Because Jesus said, I'm going to come back to you unexpectedly at a time you don't expect it. Some people say, well, he said we don't know the day or the hour, but we know the week. He says, I'm coming at a time you don't expect it. So that means nobody knows. And we're coming at a time, just think about it, it's almost 2,000 years ago that Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead, right? It's the early 30s of the first century. And we're only a decade or so away from that. We are exactly a decade away from the early 30s, by the way, not or so. And then you subtract 7 years for the tribulation period, people are going to write, you're going to see a ton of them. A lot of date setting getting ready to come on. When people set a date, I always go, when people set dates, I always go, that's not going to be the day. I don't know when it's going to be, but it's not going to be that day. Because he's going to come at a time he doesn't expect it. But Jesus will come back for us. He said, I'm going away and I will return to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. When Jesus ascended into heaven, the creeds say, we believe that he was tried under Pontius, crucified under Pontius Pilate, that he descended into hell, which is a little confusion there, but that's what the creed says. He descended into hell And then he ascended up into heaven. And Acts tells us when that happened, that Jesus was talking with them and then he ascended and he went up in the clouds into heaven. And they just stood and looked like when we watch balloons go up in the air and we stand and we look until they're gone. You still see them? No, I don't see them anymore. They're up there somewhere. And an angel appeared and said, "Men of Judea, why are you standing here looking up into heaven? For this same Jesus who left this way will return in the exact same way." So he will return for us. But again, the point of this is that we need him for salvation. So the parable of the Good Samaritan is done. And the point is to say to this guy, you're not loving your neighbor as you're supposed to. You need more. In verse 36, he says to the lawyer, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed him mercy," or "he who showed mercy on him." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." This is exactly like the rich young ruler. Rich young ruler comes and says, "What do I have to do to have eternal life?" Jesus says, "Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself." The rich young ruler says, I've done that from my youth." Liar, liar. Right? "I've done that from my youth," the rich young ruler said. And Jesus said, "One thing you lack, sell everything you have and give it to the poor," because he knew that he had covetousness in his heart, which he was not keeping the commandment. And the Bible says the rich young ruler left sad. The whole point of this parable is to reveal to you that you need Jesus. There are two reasons that I find that people don't accept Jesus. One of them is they love their sin, they're sinners, or maybe they think they've sinned too much. And when someone tells me, "God can't forgive me, I've sinned too much, you don't know what I've done," my response is always, "Don't tell me, I don't wanna know." If you say something like that, I don't wanna hear what you've done. But one thing that I do know is that there is no sin that the cross can't cover. Think of the nails driven through his hands, think of the scourging he endured, think of him dying for 6 hours on that cross, crying out, "Tetelestai, it is finished." It will cover any sin you committed, and that's good news. But also on the other end of the spectrum, there are also people who say things like, "I'm glad you found Christ, I'm glad you're a Christian, that's good for you, if you need that, but I don't need it." And maybe that's been you. Maybe you feel like going to church is part of just what makes you a good person. But Jesus wanted to reveal that everyone, even the lawyers, need Christ. So hard for me. It's like I just teed one up right there that even the scribes, even the Pharisees, the most religious among us, need to be born again. And so Jesus said to a Pharisee, what he doesn't say to this man, I'm going to take it this guy wasn't ready to commit his life to Christ because Jesus would have had a conversation with him. I would have taken it he just walked away feeling like he was okay. The Bible says you have to seek God. If you don't seek Christ, you won't be found by him. And so Jesus said to Nicodemus, who came to have a conversation with Jesus at night, you must be born again. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. This means you have to be transformed. You have to have your sins forgiven you. You have to be made into a new person. You've got to begin that new relationship with him. And someone may say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm just not a born-again Christian. I'm sorry, there's no such thing. You are either a born-again Christian or you will not make it into heaven. Jesus said to Nicodemus, if you are not born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. We all have to have our spirits brought to life. Without that, you can't be spiritual. I realize there are those that talk about being spiritual, but it's different. It might be spiritual, but it's demonically spiritual. When I was dating my wife, we went to an event for her work. She worked for Visit Tucson, which is the visitors bureau for Tucson. And we went to an event for her work. And there was a gal there that wanted to have, I can't remember what they call it. I wish I could remember what they called it. They wanted to have this spiritual event where they were all gonna go out in a circle outside, and they were gonna do something spiritual, and they asked me if I wanted to join in. And I said, sure. So when I got out there, and she's explaining what they're gonna do, we're gonna go around the circle here, we're gonna talk about our own lives and what we've discovered spiritually, what we've discovered as the truth is. And oftentimes when I have these events, she says, coyotes will show up and bobcats will show up. The spirit of the coyote, she said, the spirit of the bobcat. I'm telling you the truth. You can ask my wife, during this event, there's a kid there, a teenager, and all of a sudden he screams. He's like, ah, spiders. He was like sitting on a bench by a pool, And underneath it were a bunch of spiders that crawled out on him. And it took everything that I could not to say to the gal who was running it, and the spirit of the spider, the spirit of the coyote, the spirit of the rabbit, the spirit of the, and the spirit of the spider. So people got up and they were doing, and a lot of people didn't know what to do. So they were just standing up and trying to say something that sounded spiritual, right? Then there was the New Age gal who was running it, and she talked about crystals, and she was, you know, vortexes and all that stuff. So then it gets to me, and I just said, can I, I stood up. I said, well, I just want to pray for you guys. And so I prayed, and all of that was fine until I prayed in the name of Jesus. And afterwards, the same people that were, they knew I was a pastor before, by the way. So there was something different between real, genuine spirituality and people that say, well, I'm spiritual. I'm just not a Christian. Well, you're not really. It's spiritual, but it's a demonic spirit. Your spirit has to be born again. God created you to be that way. And that's what this was really all about, that this guy would know there's a lack in your life and you need salvation. You need Jesus coming to you, who can bind up your wounds, who can put you on his mule, who can take care of you, who will come back again for you in the future. That's the real meaning of the Good Samaritan. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word. It really and truly is rich and deep and powerful and meaningful and speaks to us. And we thank you that you show us that there is none of us that are good, no, not one. There's none of us that seeks God, not even one. None of us love you with our whole mind, soul, heart, and strength. None of us love our neighbor as ourselves. We all fall short. And so, Lord, I pray for those that are here that don't know you. I pray for those that believe that they're okay without you. And I pray that you would speak to their hearts and show them that this is their day of glory. Give them boldness to take the next step, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. And I don't really even need to explain what salvation is because we've already done that in the study. But if you're here today and you have never invited Jesus into your life, the Bible says in John 1:12, as many as receive him, he gives the power to become a child of God. And when you become a child of God, you are born again. That's how you become a child. Your spirit is brought to life and you become the person God wants you to be. You invite him in. He's waiting for an invitation. If you say, I don't want him, if you walk away without receiving him like this man did, then you will not find him. But if today you say, I want you in my life, then he will respond and he will come in. And he will transform you, and he will give you eternity. Now, I also want to say that if you're here today, and years ago or months ago or whatever it was, you made a commitment to Christ, but for whatever reason, you didn't follow through. When you give your life to Jesus, it's not like punching your ticket for heaven. It's not like, okay, I'm going to heaven now. You're actually transformed. And there's evidence that you become a new person. Part of that evidence is the way that you care for people who are in need. That's part of the evidence of being a new person. So if you're here today and you made a commitment a while ago, but you didn't follow through, I'm going to ask you to invite Christ into your life again as well and begin to live for him. So I'm going to ask every head bowed, every eye closed. And if you would like to give your life to Christ today, you would like to come back to him, just raise your hand. I want to see it. I would like to acknowledge your hand and pray for you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. You guys in the front, that's great. Back in the foyer, that's awesome. Just raise your hand now. God bless you, ma'am. And God bless you there in the front. All the way in the back there, sir, under the balcony. Up in the balcony, ma'am. That's great. God touching hearts, drawing people in. You're responding to him, by the way. God bless you in the pavilion and you as well. Back on the other side. The Bible says no one comes to the Son unless the Father draws him. This means it's not your idea, it's his. And you're just responding to him by saying, Lord, come into my life. Up in the balcony, God bless you. All right. If you're online too, you can respond by just saying, I want Christ in my life. And he'll come in as well. You could put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raise their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin separates me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. and I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God, amen. Or welcome back for those of you who have made a recommitment to the Lord. I was born again at 13 years old. I walked away at 18 and I came back at 19. I tell that story really fast, but a lot happened in that year. God did a lot to bring me back. He literally came after me, took everything away from me to bring me back to him. But God transformed me at 19 once again, and I believe God will transform you again. If you're here, there's a new believers table under the balcony over here. We want to give you a Bible, which is the milk and meat of God's word that you begin to grow, and a new believers packet. And in that packet is just information. You've raised your hand. You've made a commitment to Christ. What do you do next? That packet will help you to know that. If you can't stop by there, if you're online, you can send us an email to saved@calvarytucson.com. Take some time to write out what God did, your testimony. Tell us what God did. And we'll have people who will respond to your email, and they'll talk to you about what you do next. You could also send us a text, Ready for Jesus, to 94,000. The link you're going to get back this time is our new believer's card. Click on that link, fill that out, and we'll have people that will get in touch with you. We just want to help you in any way that we can. Now, I often, as I'm getting ready to close out a study, I think about what I would like to ask you guys to pray for. I want to pray for you, but I would like to have you pray for the people that you know who maybe think they're good enough, that they don't need the work Jesus did upon the cross. Or maybe people that are so into sin, they love sin so much. The Bible says people don't come to Christ because they love the darkness. They don't love the light. So would you pray for the people that you know that need Christ? Because their eternities are really at stake. And as you pray for them, I'm going to pray for you. So the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. I'm going to ask you, men and women, lift up your hands and pray. They're made holy by the blood of the Lamb, by the way, not by our own actions, right? And as you do, pray for your friends, families, and coworkers that need to know Christ, and I'm going to pray for you. Father, I want to pray for those who are here, those online, first of all, that need a physical touch. I pray that you would touch and heal in the name of Jesus. I also pray for those that are at the end of their rope. They just seem like they can't take any more. Your word says that you are close to the brokenhearted and that a bruised reed you won't break. And I pray for those that are really struggling now that you would strengthen them and be there for them. I also pray that we would walk close with you. I pray, thank you for all those that gave their lives to you today, that you would strengthen them and do the transforming work within their lives. And Lord, that you would draw us into you, that we would be light and salt in the midst of this world that so desperately needs you. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May he empower you with the Holy Spirit. May you be light and salt. You have the keys to the kingdom. May God use you in the midst of a world that so desperately needs Christ.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and his word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.